Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. And today we're in Luke chapter 13, verses 18 to 21, just a few verses. And in these couple of verses, we're going to get, well, they call them parables, two parables. To me, they're just sort of images, almost like Zen cones, you know, these things that we are meant to reflect on and think about and, well, wonder. And that's kind of right up our alley. For me, a parable usually has more of a narrative to it, but nevertheless, this is the same kind of thing. We are meant to ponder it, to wonder about it, and you and I may ponder it and get very different connections. We may hear different things on different days. So it's they're parables. We finished up last week. We had the story of Jesus releasing a woman from debilitation. She'd been bent over for years and years, but he did it on the Sabbath. So he healed her on the Sabbath, and the synagogue leader was very upset, and I'm sure other leaders in the synagogue were unhappy as well. Crowd, they loved it because Jesus rebuked the synagogue leader, but used a plural. That's why I say there were other people there, calling them hypocrites. And I wondered whether this was a bit of history being recounted, an event that happened, or whether it was more of a metaphor. And I had lots of reasons to think that. And I still think, I thought about it all weekend. I'm still sort of, investigating it as metaphor. And I find it very informative for me that way. But anyway, we did our thing last week and now we move on. And I think there actually is a connection. This passage I'm going to read, these two little parables, also appear in Matthew's gospel, also appear in Mark's gospel, in a different kind of location, but these seem very connected. So Luke wants these to be connected, I think. The woman being released from her debilitation and the synagogue leader being upset. Well, we'll see if you agree. So here it is. It's Luke 13, 18 to 21. Jesus said, therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. And again he said, to what should I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. There you go. So, I have preached these parables so many times. Often the great pearl fits in there too, the pearl of great value, man who sells a field, all of that sort of in when Matthew brings these parables together. But for Luke, we're getting this. We are getting the mustard seed and the yeast. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, I don't want to fall into sermon. So I have wondered about this many times since as a child. And you know, we were reminded that the mustard seed is such a small seed, and that the mustard plant can actually does grow into a tree. It can be a very big tree. So I was taught that the smallest of seeds can become a massive tree. And that's what the kingdom of God is like. That a little bit of faith can grow and blossom. That's what I heard when I was 6 years old. I had a lovely woman in Bible study years ago who came every week, but the week that we were reading this passage, she brought all of us little mustard seeds. And I still have that little mustard seed taped to my phone in my office, and it is so small, because that was what was the most important thing to her, is how small this thing is and yet how great it is. So when we ourselves as individuals, we connect ourselves we take this tiny bit of faith and we invest it, we bury it, we put it in the ground, we nurture that faith, it grows and grows and becomes something bigger than we could ever imagine. That's what the kingdom of God is like. That's what faith is like. That is what it is to be faithful and not to worry that our faith may only be small. And I love that. Excuse me. And that works. And that fits in quite nicely with the yeast, because you don't add a lot of yeast to the flour, right? You just add a little bit of yeast and then the flour is enlivened and you make this bread that bursts up, and there's pockets of air, there's air bubbles in it. It rises. It's amazing. Just a little bit of yeast and whoosh, you can get this loaf of bread. And a great image for Christians, Jesus, bread of life. Jesus, this is my body broken for you. The idea that for some people, that the idea that those bubbles of air inside bread, that's the spirit. Only takes a little bit. So it kind of works like the mustard seed. And I completely get that and love that. And there are times when I need to be reminded that my small effort can make a very big difference. And that's good, because some days I feel small and I feel my effort is not so significant. So I love that. However, this comes on the heels of the synagogue leader being angry that Jesus healed this woman on the Sabbath. And I read it very much as a metaphor. That this woman being bent over, and that what the synagogue and what the faith of that time was doing was weighing her down, weighing everybody down, and Jesus comes and lifts them up, takes that weight off their shoulders, and the synagogue, the establishment, the religious establishment is upset about that. They like to weigh them down. They don't think they do, but that's what they do. They like their way. When Jesus frees the people, they get upset about it. So coming on the heels of that, and realizing that Jesus is talking to farmers, people with an understanding of how things grow. I mean, he's not talking to a bunch of people in the middle of a city. He's talking to farmers or people who understand how farming works. So that mustard seed is tiny and small, and it grows into something big, and that's great. And it becomes a tree, and the birds of the air make nests in its branches. Isn't that lovely? All that life is drawn to them. That's a beautiful image. Those birds there, that's fantastic. But if you've got crops growing, you don't want birds nearby. They're going to ruin your crops. Your beautifully planned field, now all of a sudden's got birds nearby? I mean, the farming I know best is probably vineyards. You know, there's a reason that vineyards have a hawk nearby. That's to get rid of some of those ground vermin. And there's a reason that they fire off shotguns or fake shotguns on a regular basis to get the birds to go away, because they don't want the birds going after the grapes. They don't want these little predators in these little consumers eating up their grapes. No, that ruins their crop. So no vineyard owner would be glad to have a mustard seed planted in their vineyard. And the other thing, and you may know this, and now I know I'm falling into sermon mode, but mustard is like mint or like pumpkin. When you plant it, it just takes over everything. If you've ever planted mint in a garden without sort of really gardening it, takes over everything. I remember somebody in a previous community who famously planted pumpkin seeds in his neighbor's rose garden as a practical joke. Some people thought that was funny. The rose garden person certainly didn't, because it just completely took over. That's what happens. Mustard does the same thing. You plant a mustard seed in whatever crop you've got, your crop is going to be run over. It's going to be run over by mustard. So what does that mean to us? And then using that same sort of viewpoint, when I get to the yeast mixed in with the flour, I love risen bread, and by the way, so did people back then. But the holy bread of Passover is, as we know, unleavened bread, matzah. So the holy bread is unleavened. So as I imagine it, are we suggesting that just a little bit of yeast makes all of this unholy? Takes all of this unleavened Passover bread and makes it inappropriate for the Passover, the most important celebration in the Jewish year. Is that what we are to glean from that? I mean, people at that time, I think, would have heard that. I don't think they would have gone, oh my God, it's horrible. No, we like risen bread. But the fact is, it takes it out of the holy and it puts it into the secular. We eat regular bread quite often when we have the time. We like our regular bread, but in holy time, at the holy time of Passover, we go to the matzah, we go to the unleavened bread. And this is not appropriate for that holy time. It takes the holy and makes it mundane. Breaks down that barrier. Just like Jesus just did with that woman. He healed her on the Sabbath because her wholeness, her being healed, was more important than keeping a religious rule. A custom. So the kingdom of God, I can imagine, so that is being in right relationship with God, being in harmony with God's will. The kingdom of God will make the holy unholy. Now, of course, the corollary of that is that if the holy and the unholy are the same, there's no distinction between the two, then there is no difference. So the unholy is also holy. Right? If all bread has yeast in it, then there's no special holy bread. So all the bread, in a sense, becomes holy. Right? If everything's unholy, everything's also holy. So that distinction is gone. Right? So Jesus is talking about seeing God in the world, not just in the synagogue. Experiencing God in the world, experiencing God in Him, not just at the temple. There's that idea that God is in the temple. And so we make a pilgrimage there every year to be close to God, to honor God. And Jesus is going, no, I can tear that temple down 3 days. Tear that temple and rebuild it. Because if the temple is where God lives everywhere. By the way, God lives in me, Jesus would say. And then we get the Easter story. Rebuild it in 3 days. But just that idea that there should be no distinction between the holy and the mundane, the holy and the secular. I think that's part of what I get out of that parable, that idea of the yeast being mixed in with the measures of flour. And as for the mustard seed, what I hear in this And I've been hearing it this way for a long time, which may have to do with me and the way that I live my life and the challenge that I need to hear from God. But what I hear in this story is that the kingdom of God, living in a right relationship with God, having that kind of faith, will disrupt all of your plans. It will ruin your crops. You set your field to be just this way, and you knew, we're doing soy here, 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 and over here, I'm growing Pinot Noir grapes. And over here, I've got Riesling. And so I've got all my plans made out for my life. So I know I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to school for this period of time. I'm going to do that. I will acquire this. I'm going to progress at this certain level. And then at the end, I will build bigger barns and sit back and say, ah, my soul is satisfied. Those are my plans for life. I've got it all done. Along comes the mustard seed. And suddenly my fields aren't doing what they were supposed to do. And I can't even grow Pinot Noir now. And my soy is all turned into mustard. And everything is ruined. And my plans, well, no, I'm not building bigger barns now. Now it turns out I'm spending time with my neighbor. And I'm engaged with people on the margins who need love and support. And I'm finding my greatest joy is when I gather with people. And we share a common meal and laugh together. And oh my God, these weren't my plans. But they're better, perhaps, than my plans. So the thing is, I really want to engage in my faith. I really want to listen to what God is saying. I have to be prepared to let go of my plans. The leader of the synagogue that we heard about last week, he knew how things were supposed to be done. Those are his plans, his rituals, his habits, his assumptions, right? But along comes God, Jesus, right there, doing God things, healing people. And because this guy can't let go of his plans the way things are supposed to be done, he's mad. He's just seen a woman healed. He has Jesus right in front of him. And there is evidence that Jesus is unlike anybody he's ever met. But because he can't let go of the way things are supposed to be done, he can't let go of his plans, he can't see it. He won't let himself see it. The mustard seed someone took and sowed in the garden, and it grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches. Doesn't even say that the gardener is the one who planted it. Might have been like my friend who put the pumpkin seeds in the neighbor's rose garden. Might not have been planned at all. And it just started to happen, and it became overwhelming. And you can fight it, or you can go with it. The kingdom of God. I know there are other ways to appreciate these parables. So you know what? I'm going to stop now, because I got sermons running through my head that I just want to preach at you. And so I'm going to leave them with you to wonder about. Connected to the story of the woman who was healed and the synagogue leader was angry because it happened on the Sabbath, or disconnect from that story entirely and just let them sit on their own. What are they saying to you? What's the message? What word of God is emerging from them that you need to hear today? Because there's something in there, I'm quite sure of it. But for me right now, I've heard what I need to hear, and I'm going to keep thinking about it today. And I'm now going to simply offer a prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you. Thank you for parables that are for everyone and yet speak to us personally, individually. Thank you, God, for the time to wonder together and to hear your word. God, as we hear your word emerge, may we be drawn to it. May we be unafraid to follow, and may we grow in faith. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's enough for me today. But until I get to see you tomorrow, God bless you. Please know that God sees you, knows you, and loves you exactly as you are. And that God's love not only comes to you where you are, but moves through you into the world. And so you change the world just by being. You really do. Just letting God's love flow through you is an incredible ministry. So thank you for that. God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow.